All right, so why don't we go ahead and get started. This is Jen calling in from the monastery. So a big, huge welcome to everyone. Really, really excited to be launching the Fundraising Everywhere program. And we're pioneers here. So this is really the first time we've done this, although we've done many things like it, and people have been doing fundraisers for many years. And so it's kind of the coming together, pulling together the energies of things that have been around for a while. So we're really excited to do that and hoping that in addition to this group of people being the first folks who walk through the official program, that we might also get your assistance with creating the program as we go. So lots of room for potential and possibility as we go forward. So I thought it might be fun to start with talking about why we do this. Partly we're recording this call so that it can be a resource for people who down the line decide they want to jump in and join, find out about Fundraising Everywhere and want to be part of that program. And so this will be a resource for people to go back to and find out what the program's about and how it works and that kind of thing. So we thought it would be fun to start with that, to look at why are we doing this Fundraising Everywhere project. There are many folks on the call who have done this before, have done a fundraising project perhaps, and or are on the committee who have been working to create this. So I wonder if people who are in that category might step forward to tell us a little bit about where the origin of this, why we're doing this project, and what we're what we're doing with it.
Jen, this is Jan.
Hey, Jan.
It's so many things come to mind when you ask that. But it seems like, you know, the first thing that came to mind was that fundraising, at least for Living Compassion, is just one of the ways that we can give back for all that we receive. Mm. And that's huge in itself for me, just because I'm always... I've received so much over the years that it seems like just one of the ways that I can help support what supports me every day.
Yeah.
But the second part of it that seems that I've learned in doing fundraising for Living Compassion is that just the process, focusing on process as I go through it,
yeah.
And for me having fun, because my tendency is to not to make anything work.
That's right. That's a skill to learn. Yep.
that having fun and watching the process and working with that makes it a whole different experience than just thinking, oh, I'm going to do this project for thus and such.
Yeah.
It changes it completely. And I also know in doing that I have support, and that's the intent of what we're doing now, is that we can support one another, both in ideas and actually making it happen, but primarily in focusing in on our process as we do it. Because really, in the end, if we end up doing a fundraiser or not, may not be the main point here.
That's right. That's not the most relevant point, because in practice, of course, everything we're doing is in service to practice. And so
mm-hmm.
the point is never the content. The most important piece of it is always the process, as you say. So
yeah.
I heard a lot in what you just said. So starting out with wanting to really give back to something that has given so much to you. And for a lot of folks, and I know this is my experience as well, that there's a level of one's own finances you can give, but then that sort of reaches the limit. And often there's a sense of wanting to give more, and so fundraising can be a way to do that. It can be a way to give beyond, because, you know, I don't want to give so much that I then no longer have the means to do what I need to do in my daily life. And so this can
right.
be a nice way to, if I feel moved to give more, it's a way to be able to access more finances without needing to put my own myself or my family in deprivation. And that even more than that, it sounds like there's an element of fundraising that challenges you on the process level that feels really important and exciting to step into.
Yeah, and when you said that, it just brought home again my experience in the last thing I tried, it was new, and again the focus was on having fun. But what I've loved in all the discussions we've had so far through PPP and so forth, it's just the creativity that people bring to this. Yeah. And I've gotten brand new ideas just from hearing other people talk about it. And it just gets me excited about trying something new that allows me to be more creative. It's sort of, what I see in it, or at least what I'm getting, is that we have the chance to inspire one another.
Yeah, and that's right. That was the other piece that you were talking about, is the support. That this particular program, that is why we're doing it. Because, as I say, people have been doing this kind of thing for years. But to come together as a group and do it together is really the key. And, you know, as you were talking earlier, I was seeing that for a lot of us, there's a process that happens when we decide to do something like this. And often one of the first stages is inspiration and excitement. And for almost all of us, at some point, that gives way to, I don't feel like it, or I don't want to, or I changed my mind, or whatever process would happen in there. But if we have a support system in place, then we always have a place to go back to and to get re-energized and to get support from each other as conditioning does whatever it does. We're not on our own to try to, now we have to follow through on this thing that for some reason there's no longer the energy for. We have this base of support that we can tap back into.
Yeah, and that can make all the difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Good. Thanks, Jan.
Thank you.
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire.
Hi, this is Rico.
Hey, we'll do Claire and then take Rico.
I just want to second some of the things that I've heard said. So I haven't a fundraising in the past. I'm in the camp of, I'm not sure that I can do this, and what am I going to do?
Uh-huh.
So I'm really looking forward to the support.
Oh, good. Yeah.
And I'm also very excited because I've heard lots of stories about people embarking upon fundraising adventures and finding that they're getting as much as they're giving.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited about that and about doing this in a group process where I'm going to be sharing my ideas and getting other people's ideas and the energy of working together on this project is what I'm very excited about.
Good. So that for you, it's a challenge because you're sort of in that camp of, oh gosh, how is this going to go? Am I really going to be able to pull this off? And looking forward to having the support, not only the process support, but also just on the level of content. Well, what other ideas are people coming up with? Maybe there are things that will spark me that I realize, oh, I could do that one.
Exactly. And just that piece of looking for where the joy is, where the fun is in this project, that just makes me smile just thinking about having that umbrella over the whole project.
Yes, I keep thinking of specific examples of that, but I won't spill the beans, hoping that other folks on the call will speak to that. But I know there have been specific examples of some really neat fundraiser kinds of things that have happened where, yes, finances come out of it. There is financial support that results from it, but that the focus has been on how much fun can we raise here. So that's neat.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claire. Rico.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
So I had an experience yesterday where I went, I'm founded a, my second annual charity garden to benefit the Africa Project.
Uh-huh.
And a kind of a boutique nursery in my community had made a donation last year, and I sent them more information. And yesterday went over to the nursery with my son, and the owner of the nursery was so happy that he could give, his heart had a way to give directly.
Yep.
And my son is so happy that he's found a way to give directly. And neighbors and friends who participate in this feel so happy that they found a way to give.
Yeah.
So what I'm noticing in this process is it's great to raise food. It's great to have a little farm stand. But more than anything, it's so wonderful to see people's heart light up when they see a chance to give.
Yes. So we could say that that's another reason for doing this, is offering ourselves and others the chance to give, because it feels so good.
It feels so good to give.
Yeah, and how
and,
often? Go ahead.
Well, it's like we've heard before that the heart was built for giving and for loving.
Yeah.
And in this time, economic strife just cloudy times, a simple vegetable, picking a tomato or we planted 16 tomato plants yesterday, and my son and I picked names for all the girls. And so the neighbors come by, and they're giggling about, well, this is kind of a nutty guy, but then they remember what the whole purpose is.
Yeah.
And it's a way for people to really, just a tomato or a cucumber or a squash to allow their heart to give and to feel how alive that can make them.
Yeah. Allow them a chance to give and feel how alive that can make them. Yep.
Hallelujah.
Very good. Thanks.
Thank you for allowing me to serve. It's just so much fun to be able to give.
And thank you for jumping in, because it's one of those things that just builds itself, doesn't it? Then we get inspired by hearing other people's ideas, and then I want to do it, and then someone else is inspired what I do, and so on.
Well, it's also a lot of physical work, hard work, but yet what keeps me going, what keeps me motivated is that, wait a second, this isn't just food on my table, and this isn't just food for my neighbors, and we can all easily afford to go down to Whole Foods and buy the very best organic. What we're doing is something to make a difference in lives of people who really need this. It's bigger than my life.
Yeah.
And that's what feels so inspiring.
Well, great. Thank you.
Keep on. Thank you for giving me a part of this.
Oh, you're most welcome. It's a pleasure.
Bye.
This is Claire.
Hey, Claire.
I wanted to give a little bit of history for this project.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
The history for this project is that traditionally we've had a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project, which is our bridge walk, which is usually in September or October.
Uh-huh.
And that's been a really fun and successful project over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus of this project is to try and raise some money for the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Right.
That is another piece what everybody's involved in, which is very dear to my heart, and I project dear to everybody's heart, is the monastery, the sustainable building and way of life that represents.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the great workshops and retreats that are offered there.
Supporting the monks who live there. we got to feed them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the peace center that represents too. There are many ways that the Zen Monastery Peace Center contributes to my life, and I project the lives of many people in the world, and it's something that I wish to support.
Yeah, thank you. That segues really nicely into the next piece of the call, of looking at the structure of fundraising everywhere. And as you say, it's meant to be kind of the sister, the cousin, if you will, of the fundraising that we do in the fall time for Africa. And so we actually, this idea was new, and so we're doing it in the summertime, but I suspect next year we'll place it more in the springtime. So the springtime will be our time when we're raising funds for the Peace Center, for the sustainability, as you say, the piece of the Zen Monastery Peace Center, funding that side of things, keeping workshops and retreats going, the funds to keep the physical plant of the monastery going, to keep the monks fed, to keep training happening there. And then in the fall time, we'll turn our attention to raising funds for Africa. And our hope is that people will feel moved to jump in on one or both sides of that. It would be really fun to have Sangha involved in both areas. They're similar in some ways and different in others. One of the themes that's come up is that people talk about that for the Africa work, it's pretty easy to ask friends and family to support that work because everyone can relate to there are hungry kids in Africa, especially when they see their adorable faces on the website. And sometimes for folks it's more challenging to find ways to raise money for the Zen Monastery Peace Center, feeling like, well, this is my church and, you know, other people, you don't ask me for money for their church and things like that. And what we've looked at with that is perhaps this time of the year there would be more of an emphasis on things like fundraisers, which is why we've called this side of it fundraising everywhere. So I hold a yard sale and I'm selling things. I'm not asking people for money. I'm selling things. Or people have talked about doing paintings and selling their artwork or projects where they're creating something and in return for that they're raising funds. The other piece of it is that some folks have talked about realizing that that actually raising funds for the Zen Monastery Peace Center is much larger than, say, raising funds for, quote, my church, in the sense that it's really a model for peace and sustainability in the world, and that by supporting that model, in a sense, we're offering that possibility to a much greater audience. So for some people, that's a tack that they're taking as they go forward with their project. So in a minute, I want to talk a little bit more about kind of the nuts and bolts of how we're going to go forward with the structure of this project, but I want to pause and see if there are any questions or comments at this point.
Hey, Jen, this is Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Hi. You know, one of the what you reminded me of when you were talking about all the different ways, you know, people could paint things and sell them and do this and that, and we have created a really nifty way for that to happen. One very fun way is the new Sangha Market, which is now live on the internet.
Very fun.
Yeah, it's a web-based marketplace, and it's run by Sangha volunteers. And very happily, I am one of the volunteers.
We had time to make it happen.
Oh, we had so much fun creating it, you know. And it's a place where we can buy and sell items that we might have created or items we no longer need because it has a garage sale area, which I love. So, you know, just look around our house even and sell that. But it also has, it's already has some very nice things on it, and they are things that people have created or, you know, want to sell in order to do just like what we're talking about, raise the funds that for Living Compassion, I mean, you know, or the monastery. And, you know, it's like it could even enhance one's own income at the same time, because, you know, there's a certain percentage that can go, all of it can go, or a certain percentage of it can go. So it's really, I think, a very nice win-win type of situation.
It really is. So if mm-hmm. I'm an artist and I'm creating my art, and maybe there's some expense to creating it, and maybe I also need some extra income for myself, then I can put something on the Sangha Market and choose to have some percentage of it go to the organization, to the monastery,
mm-hmm.
and some percentage of it can go to me to cover my expenses and keep me going as an artist.
Exactly. And the other nice thing about it, it feels, you know, it's very Sangha oriented, and it feels like a place where the whole Sangha can come together, you know, in little bits and pieces and little, have their stores and have their either sell or buy, and it feels really good to go there and know you're buying something from somebody who really cares and is part of the Sangha. And it's I find it very kind of very touching experience
yeah.
that way too.
Say, it's an equal benefit not just to put things up there, but also to shop there.
Exactly.
About, like when the holidays come around or birthdays or things like that where I know I'm going to buy a present for someone anyway, what a perfect place to go and check first.
Exactly, it is.
Put my resources there.
And it's kind of, it's a structured like eBay in that, in however eBay structure, because I don't go on eBay, but I know it has this auction element, and the directions and everything are really very clear to follow either as a buyer or a seller. But this, I think I heard rumors that that we're going to have an auction, a whole Sangha auction in July, and this would be a perfect thing, you know, a place to have part of it or however we're going to do it. I don't know, but that'll be fun.
Yeah, I've heard rumor of that too. I don't have the details. I don't know if anyone on the call does, but that July will be the auction month, and and I'm also not sure how that works exactly, but I think the idea being, I mean, imagine if everyone in the Sangha chose one thing they wanted to sell on auction on the Sangha market in July. I mean, that right there would be a tremendous amount of fun.
Yes, it would, and it's very easy and fun to do. And I know that part is like eBay, you know, where you just keep bidding and everything. But I'm sure we'll hear much more about it and have, you know, all the directions we need for that one to happen. But, you know, it's sanghamarket.com, so be sure and visit and shop.
Call. Not sure if I'm muted or not, actually. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right. So,
Jen, I wanted to pitch in with one other why fundraising.
Why fundraising? Okay, very good.
Just quickly, it's so beautiful to hear about paintings and growing a garden and selling those things because that's gorgeous. The other thing is we've raised money by hosting a spa night for the Sangha. And people can just kind of invent something that they've always wanted to do and have an event.
Uh-huh.
You know, some great camping trip that you always wanted to do but you never had time for.
Yeah.
But you can sort of plan and get your friends to come for a donation. And so we've been doing this. I run a skincare and cosmetic company, so we've been doing fundraisers as spa pamper nights. So the why is that people are dying to come and get facials and foot soaks, and all they pay is $15, and that's going to go to Living Compassion for a whole three-hour pamper. So the why of all the people who come to our spas is because they can get a really affordable event that they would love to attend in itself, and then they get to give. So just that people can also think about if they don't feel like they have time or able to make something, but to plan an event.
Yeah.
And I think on that Sangha thing, we've opened it up that if anybody wants to book our spas, we'll come out and host a spa for them. But can also just that's the fun in the fundraiser part.
That is the fun, yeah. And we're going to book you to come to the monastery.
Yes, absolutely. And it's really an honest thing about, it's, you know, it works because our skincare line is vegan and hypoallergenic, so the products are used are not offensive to anybody. But, yeah, exactly. We'll come to the monastery. We'll come anywhere in the Bay Area and help you guys raise money for Sherry because we are totally devoted to it.
Yeah, and that's so fun because, again, so one of the structural things is we're going to have a blog where people can write all kinds of things, what their ideas that they're having, the process that they're seeing around it, et cetera, et cetera. But for you guys to go on there and just write a little thing about what you're doing because, again, I mean, boy, is that something I would have never thought of in a million years. It's just really, really fun.
Yeah. It's so fun, and that's the thing. It's like, yeah, we will come, no problem, and come have a pamper. And if you're like, you know, gosh, I've always really wanted to hike that mountain or go camping, or don't underestimate the fundraising ability in planning that dream trip that you wanted and bringing your friends along.
Yeah, that is a really fun idea. Thanks for adding that in.
My pleasure. Yeah, absolutely. I'm so excited by this program.
Oh, that's great. So other questions or comments before I say a little bit more about structures?
Hi, Jen.
Yeah.
This is Anne-Marie.
Hey, Anne-Marie.
Hi. Hi to everyone. For full disclosure, I'm at an intersection in downtown San Francisco, which may not be very zen, but I'm being as present with all y'all as possible.
Okay.
And I'm just on my commute from work, which happens to be I'm a fundraiser at the San Francisco Zen Center.
Perfect.
Which is a real treat. And but I'm also a beginning fundraiser and a beginning Zen student, so I don't claim to have any expertise in this area, perhaps a few more resources, but I'm just another contributing participant and learning from all of you as well. So
great.
I mainly wanted to say hello to let you know that I'm here with you and ready and raring to go.
Okay.
Jen and I actually met probably over a year ago over coffee to talk about the Africa project while I was working at the Firelight Foundation. But
that's great. Well, that's really fun. So we'll get to benefit from what you're seeing, and hopefully you'll benefit from other things that folks here are sharing. And so that's a really neat collaboration.
Yeah. So just wanted to say hello and thank you so much, and I look forward to future participation.
Good. Well, thanks for checking in and telling us that you're there.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, take care. So some of the nuts and bolts of the project, I talked about the blog. So the blog will have several purposes. It'll be a place where people can write in ideas so that people can, the rest of us who maybe don't have an idea yet, can go and read about what other folks are doing and hopefully get inspired and excited. And then also a place to write about what's going on for you as you do the project. Is it, are you having great breakthroughs on the process level? Or is there a lot of resistance as you do it? Is conditioning getting stirred up? So lots of opportunity to write in and read what other folks are seeing, sort of a little bit in an email class style. I think we're going to do two things. We're going to send emails with people sending in their ideas and their process things, sort of email class style, and then we're also going to post it on the blog. That way, if you when you get the email, if you don't want to read it in email form, you can just delete it, or you can read it and know if there's an idea you really liked, you don't have to hang on to it in your email. You can know that it's always archived in the blog. So we'll probably do it in those two ways. And then a third category would be people writing in and talking about their successes. How did the event go? Maybe what they learned from it, helpful tips for other folks as they go forward on similar kinds of events. So it'll really be a place for this group of people to be in conversation with each other. And it will be a blog that's just, at least for now, just accessible to us, just the people who are in this program. It won't be on the live website. It'll be something that just we have access to. We anticipate also having phone calls like we're having right now, so support phone calls where we can get together, again, pretty much in all those categories I just named. Share ideas, talk about places, I'm not sure about this, I had this idea, this is what's going on for me on the process level as I go through and do this, things like that, and also reporting in on your successes. We've talked about the idea of doing this in waves. So we're doing it through the summer, so doing possibly three waves, a wave in June, one in July, and one in August. And in a little bit, I might open it up if we have time for input about that and talk about do we want to have goals for each month or how might we want to structure those waves.
So, Jan?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, it's Rebecca. One of the things that I think we had talked about, I don't know if we came to a conclusion, but I think we were leaning towards in kind of organizing the communication in emails. Like it wouldn't be a daily thing. It might be three times a week, and maybe Mondays would be ideas, Wednesdays would be processing, and Fridays would be, something else. But sort of trying to organize it in a way that people could track it, and it wouldn't feel like being inundated with emails, but that would actually be sort of, be helpful and inspiring.
Yeah, so you could know, okay, I'm looking for ideas, that's going to be that Monday email. mm-hmm. or I'm interested really in what's going on for people on the process level, that's going to be the Wednesday email. And we're not sure at first how much volume there'll be in email. So it may be just there's not a whole lot, and so we end up putting them in one shorter email once a week. We'll just have to kind of see and play it by ear. But that is true that we do have our eye on making it as user-friendly as possible and not just having it be a bunch more emails showing up in your inbox.
Jen, I wanted to say a little more about the waves.
Great.
My understanding about the waves of fundraising is that it's these are more of like a, for building the energy and for celebrating what we're doing. It's not that everybody has to start a project at the beginning of the month and end it at the end of the month. People can start a project in the middle of the month and still ride a wave with us. And the end of a wave just means that there'll be a big, in my mind, a big celebration, and people will celebrate all of the aspects of the work that we're doing, the fact that we're generating ideas, the fact that we're making steps towards things, the fact that we're seeing our conditioning, and also there'll be a celebration about successes and monies raised.
Yeah, thank you for adding that in. So that the waves, the idea came from wanting to build the energy and keep it moving and keep people enrolled and keep supporting people as we go through. Yeah.
And also to let people jump in any time in the process.
Yeah, to not feel like, wow, it's the middle of July, I'm way behind the eight ball. Not at all. It's always a good time to jump in. Yep. Other questions or comments about any of that or anything that we've talked about so far? And please do feel free to ask your questions, jump in, because as I said, we're recording this call, and I'm sure if you've got a question, it's probably a question that someone else is going to have in the future, and it would be helpful to get it out on the table so that it's on this recording.
Can I just jump right in?
Sure.
Oh, I didn't know if I was on or not.
Is that John?
Yeah, I came a little bit late into the call, so.
Okay, let me take a quick pause and make that announcement that everyone is live on the call. We've not muted folks. And so far, the background noise has not been a problem. So if you want to jump in, just go ahead and start talking.
Okay, the question I had is, while we were doing this, I just went on to sanghamarketplace.com, and it didn't come up. And I thought, well, maybe there's another access point. So that was just a question.
I think it's sanghamarket.com.
Oh, Sangha Market. Great.
Yeah.
Try that and report back, John.
Okay, thanks.
Hi, Jen. This is John.
Hey, John.
Another John.
Another John. Southern John.
Yeah. A question for you. Since I'm going to go on a climbing trip and hopefully get pledges to support the African Vulnerable Children Project,
uh-huh.
I'm not sure if there's a method for people to pledge, get it to the monastery, and then get the feedback to me so I can send them thank you notes.
Oh, good question. So that they would go on the website. They would make a donation via credit card, let's say.
Sure.
And is there a way for you to get notified so that you could send them a thank you in addition to the one they'd get from the organization?
Right.
It is technically possible, John. It's actually not part of a system that exists in a computer.
Mm-hmm.
So it would entail like a human being, a person going in to find those transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And that could become, if we had enough people making that request, that could become quite a big job.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure. I'll tell you what other folks have done in the past with that is they've asked their friends, when you make a donation online, would you also let me know that you've done that?
Okay.
So you might try that because I'm just trying to think. Yeah, other than it's really a track it by hand kind of a situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Jen?
Yeah.
This is Jan. Could I just comment on that?
Sure.
One of my personal goals is to work on a system that would do exactly what John just asked about, sort of aiming toward the bridge walk, to have it done so that if we want to form teams.
Yeah.
So it's good to hear that people are interested in that kind of thing now, but Anyway, my personal goal is to be working with our technical guy to have, you know, to see how we can do that for the bridge walk. So at least one of us is working on it.
Okay, good. Yeah, that hopefully in the future we'd find a way that it wouldn't be, it wouldn't need to take a lot of time to do it, but it would just be something.
Right.
Yeah, we'd integrate it into how people do their transactions online.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It's so super. You know, what we're always looking at with everything, of course, is the middle way. And there's that place where really wanting to support people and provide for them what they need. And at a certain point, if it's not automated, then we end up, all the money that's raised, we're spending it on tracking it. So yeah, we're always looking at that middle way. So that's super, Jan, that I'd forgotten that you were still working on that project. So that's neat. Thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you as well. I made a donation to another friend's Arthritis Foundation walk, and as soon as he got into his website, Care of Him, I got a note back from him 24 hours later. Somehow he got notified, and he was able to write a personal email. So it sounds like you guys are working on it. That's sort of my model vision, and I'll just take it. I'll take your suggestion for now.
And you might forward us, John, the information about that organization, because I could send that on to Jan.
That would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. I mean, I know for big foundations, you know, they've got the resources to spend a lot of money on IIT stuff, but you never know. I mean, they might have some not-so-expensive solution that we might be able to use. So thank you for that.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Great. Thank you.
Okay.
So I want to open it up for folks who either have done a fundraiser or you have an idea, you're already sort of geared up and thinking about what you're going to do, and open the floor for people who might be willing to talk about fundraisers they've done and or ones that they have in mind that they're working towards, just to begin the process of sharing some ideas.
Jen, this is Jeffrey.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Hello. I started my first fundraiser yesterday.
Oh, wow, no grass under your feet, huh?
No. it was so, what I did was I sent out an email to some close people and said that if you have jobs and stuff that you want done, I'll do it, and you can give me however much money you want.
Wow.
It just, because I was thinking of the whole thing, like I could not participate and not feel good, or I would have to suffer my way through earning the money somehow. Mm-hmm. And this seemed like a third option there.
Yeah, and the third option is always the one that conditioning does not present to us, huh?
Correct. I noticed.
The one that comes from insight, the one that comes from just sitting with and being open to a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was yesterday. I've earned money already.
Oh, very good.
People were enthusiastic.
Wow.
Somebody was, a friend was over for dinner when I sent the email, and 5 minutes later he read it on his phone and he said, "You just made me dinner. I want to give you money for that."
Oh.
So
that is so great.
I like earned money retroactively. It was very fun to do.
That is really fun. Wow, I love that. That is so neat. Yeah.
And it never would have happened if I had listened to that internal story that people are going to think that this is stupid and that it's not going to work and, you know, it's a weird idea, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. If you had listened to the voice that was closing you down and believed, yeah, that's true. I mean, what if I don't want to take a risk. You wouldn't have had the experience of, it sounds like, what's been an expansive place to jump into.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And what has kind of been said already, I'm finding that people are glad to participate.
Yeah.
Like much more than I ever would have believed. they're like, wow, this is something, because I wrote in the email what it means to me.
Oh,
and I think it's rare for people to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, yes, and I, who knows really what's going on for people as they receive that, but as you described it, what I felt for myself was you're sharing yourself with people who you care about and who care about you, and that's a gift.
Yeah, some coworkers and I were counting the wins because I said I wanted it to be a win-win-win situation in the email, and that you just came up with another one. Because I feel closer to them, because they were so glad to see this part of my life, you know?
Yes, I do. I do. And that, just like I think we were talking about with Rico, that what a gift it is that people feel to be asked, that in itself is, that's a service. They feel honored to be asked.
Yeah, yeah. And what another thing that was really interesting is that some people seem to be inspired to do their own kind of thing.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
For whatever, you know, the thing that they care about. So it just has such far-reaching effects that conditioning would have tried to stop, did try to stop.
And that you would then have the opportunity to reciprocate. So maybe someone down the line will ask you the same thing, and you would have the chance to, you know, hire them to cook you dinner.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just keep on doing that.
Keep on doing it. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
Yeah. There was one more thing that occurred to me,
mm-hmm.
and that you, I think you said something about it before, that if somebody is listening to the call and they don't have an idea and they don't know what to do, or that all of that is okay too.
All of that is okay. Yep.
Yeah, it's great to participate and not have ideas at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And to not put pressure. So, you know, not to, well, I don't have an idea, but I'll listen to the call and maybe by tomorrow I'll have an idea. I mean, maybe I won't have an idea until, you know, July, August. I don't know. Or maybe I won't have an idea this season.
Yeah.
But I can still participate and be, it's that patience we were talking about earlier with someone, of that just being willing to wait for the insight to arise and not need to make anything happen. And that the participation is what creates the opening for that.
Yeah, wait for the insight. Yeah. Yeah. And just, it really strikes me what a service it is just to be participating in these calls and in the program. That right there is such a big step, you know?
It's so true. That right there, that's participation. That's all it's about.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Jen, this is Janet.
Hey, Janet.
Hi. I just really enjoyed hearing that. That just felt so kind to me, that, you know, us just being on the phone call, participating,
yep.
Enough.
It's enough. Yep.
Yeah, that felt really good. So I liked hearing that.
Yeah, good. I'm glad, because it's really true. That's the place where the fun is going to come from. Not from okay, what's my idea? I don't have an idea. You know, that's a conversation with conditioned mind. And in a way, it's a funny, actually, I think Sherry was talking about this on the radio show on Tuesday night, that it's really, the benefit comes from the process of being kind as we're doing it. So forcing myself to do something that I should do, that's not what we're going for. Being open to and kind to myself to see what really lights me up, what would be fun for me to do, that's what we're going for.
Yeah, I totally get that too. And I had something that came up for me that I'm really lit up about. And when I realized, you know, when I was doing the PPP classes, all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, I can do what I love, this thing that I wanted to do that I love, and I can also make money for the monastery. And that just you know, that was just like blew me wide open. It's like, oh my God, this is so great. So I've been, because of my, and I, you know, because I want to give back everything that I have gotten from this practice,
mm-hmm.
and I feel like everyone I come in contact with, you know, we're talking about sharing yourself, mm-hmm. I feel that they are sharing in what I have gotten from the practice. Mm-hmm. And recently I've started, I went back to something I had done 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I started teaching aerobic dancing again, which
wow.
I used to do when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I just felt really moved to do it again. And my classes have been so much fun, and they've been such an inspiration for everyone. Mm-hmm. And I'm turning 60 this summer, and I wanted to do a celebration for everybody in my life. And I thought, I'm going to give everybody a free class with aerobic dancing, yoga, you know, this whole big thing. And then I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to raise money for the monastery.
Oh, my God.
No, because every, you know, who I am and how I am in the world is I attribute so much to my practice.
Yeah.
So it feels like this, it's like this beautiful circle.
Yeah. Oh.
And I'm just really, really excited about it. And it feels like it's coming from a place not of I should be doing this. You know, because I'm on the call, or I've been part of the monastery, but it comes from a place of really just wanting to.
Yeah.
Because it makes so much sense.
It makes so much sense. It lights you up. It's exciting. And it gives in so many different areas. You know, there's all these things coming together, something you love to do, celebrating a really big milestone in your life, you know, offering to your friends and family, inviting people in the way that Jeffrey was just talking about. There's so many elements of it.
Yeah. And I get so much.
Yes.
I mean, I get so much from it.
Yes, yeah. Boy, it's just so fun. I mean, everything everyone is saying, I think, oh, yes, we want to bring you here and have you do that here.
I know. And the other thing is I want to say I've loved all the ideas that everyone's had, and I have some other ideas. You know, I don't want to take up a lot of time, but ideas seem to just be percolating, and I feel like the freedom to move on those ideas. And I personally am really excited to be raising money for the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really happy about that.
Mm. Thanks for saying that, Jana. That's very inspiring. Yeah, and again, I'm hoping the blog will be a place where all those ideas can get out in the open, because I think, you know, people are going to be sparked by all kinds of different things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too. I love the whole idea, so thank you.
Thank you.
Jen, this
hey,
is Claire.
Jen. Hey, Claire, and then someone else I can't hear in the background there keeps chiming in.
Jen, I wondered if this is a good time just to outline to people where to email in their ideas so that they can be put on the blog and email back to folks.
Okay, sure.
So we are now open for all these ideas and any other things that you want to share regarding our fundraising project. So,
we're officially open for business.
Exactly. So please email in your ideas to fundraisers, that's FUNRAISERS, @livingcompassion.org. And we're asking you to be mindful of the length of the emails. There's no length on email length at this time, but we'd also want people to be aware that we want folks to be able to read as many ideas as possible, to be succinct would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And the emails that are sent in are going to be read by a volunteer who will take their identifying names off the emails.
Mm-hmm.
And then those emails will then be sent out to these people, us that are enrolled in fundraising everywhere, and also their ideas will be posted on the blog.
Exactly. Great.
I have a question about that.
Okay.
So at this point, you just want ideas for fundraisers.
I think. Well, I'll defer to Jen on this one. I have an idea, but I don't know if Jen wants to answer that one.
Is that Sandy?
Yeah.
Sandy, it's a tiny bit hard to hear you.
Okay. Yes, it's me. Can you hear me better?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. So you were asking, are we only looking for ideas for fundraisers?
Right.
As opposed to?
Right now. As opposed to stories,
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. We're ready for all of it.
Okay. Great.
So, Jen, that would also include process, people that are running into resistance or having breakthroughs or all of you. Yeah.
Yep. And probably, you know, it's all going to run together, really, because, I mean, like we were just talking about with Jeffrey, there's the idea and the process is all one big thing, isn't it? But
yeah.
it's all the same thing. Yep. So was that the person, was Sandy the person in the background, or was there someone else trying to get on?
I had tried
Patty.
To get on.
Okay, so Rebecca and then Patty.
Oh, okay, I didn't know there was two of us. Okay, so I was just going to talk about an idea that I did. It actually didn't feel like an idea, though. It felt more just like an opportunity that arose that I happened to recognize. And so... I can see part of the conditioning is about, I don't have any ideas, you know, but it really was just something that came up that I was invited to do a talk at a church. I used to be in ministry and, you know, and I noticed that I really didn't have the energy to do it because I felt like I'd moved on and I just didn't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But then I realized that, hey, I could take what they were going to pay me and give it to Living Compassion, and then just whoosh, all of the willingness was there to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, it ended up being such an inspiring thing because the topic that they wanted me to speak on was just so fit with practice. And so it goes kind of back to what Janet was saying earlier, that everything I am now is because of the practice, and so it's like that's what comes through no matter what, you know. And so it was truly a win-win-win, you know, because the folks seemed to love it, I loved it, and it generated some money for the work, for the practice too.
Yeah. Boy, it really is. And that you almost, it sounds like, passed up the opportunity thinking, maybe not, you know, not really, it's not really interesting to me right now. And that how interesting it is that when you shifted the focus to, boy, this could also be a contribution to something I really care about and want to give back to, that's what created the energy of actually wanting to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. That is exactly right.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
It is interesting, Rebecca. And now that I think about it, that's got to be one of the main elements at play here, because so many of the things that people talk about are things that, well, I'm not the kind of person who, or I don't know how to, or, but that wanting to, like Sherry talks about, I will do for the love of others what I would not do for myself. And so suddenly the thought of being able to provide something for an organization, for a process that has given so much to me, suddenly there's willingness and creativity and inspiration and desire to really move forward and all these things that then end up benefiting us. That we receive.
Yeah.
From. Yeah.
Yeah. And just one last little point on this, as people are looking at what to do, it really feels important to make the distinction that it didn't feel like an idea. You know, like if I had just been sitting around thinking, okay, what do I want to do? What's my idea going to be to do a fundraiser? You know, I might have missed it altogether. So it really was sort of just like we sit in meditation, just sort of open to whatever arises.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, the posture that was so conducive to this coming up. It's just kind of going along, you know, and seeing what arose.
Yeah. And so the intention was there all along, and so when the intention matched the opportunity, it's like it just, there it was. Oh, hey, I could do this. So you weren't looking for it. You weren't going out to find it. You weren't going to condition mind to create it, but you were open to the possibility, and then when it came along, you saw it. You were there for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. Thank you. Yeah. Was that Patty? Did I get that right?
Yes. Hi, okay. Jen.
Hey.
Hi. Hi. So I have a couple of questions, but first I just wanted to say that I'm so excited and inspired by all this, and also I think a little bit scared, or it may be conditioning that's scared, the ego that's scared.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, because it's like this is just, I haven't done anything like this before, and I grew up in a family where we just didn't do volunteer work.
Right.
It was always about our survival.
Yep.
And, I really lived with that belief for such a long time that whenever I thought about doing anything for charity, it was like immediately just shot down.
Uh-huh. That's not part of who I am.
Yeah, exactly. So this is really scary and exciting for me.
Great.
Yeah, I'm really psyched. But so I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
One question is, I think you mentioned on the last PPP call about maybe providing us with sort of a way to talk about the monastery when
yeah.
we, like if we're going to send out an email to our friends or something.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for saying that. It was not on my agenda to talk about, and that's a good point. The committee who's been working on this stuff is working on what's in process right now, and we're wide open to feedback if people want to email us about it, is making a very simple, what I think is quite beautiful. We have a talented graphic artist in the Sangha who's on the committee. Very simple postcard that has like a quote, or even just one word on one side of it, like compassion or kindness or love, joy are some of them, with a beautiful design. And then on the flip side, just a simple explanation of the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And
okay.
It would be something that would be a file you could email to people. It would be something that you could print if you wanted to and have available, let's say you had a yard sale. You could have those, just available at the yard sale for people to take or to understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. So that's what we're going for, because we're figuring in people's lives right now, they don't have time to sit there and read pages and pages and pages and, oh, by the way, we do this and we have this project and we have that going on. No one's going to do that. So something that's just in a quick, beautiful way will represent who we are and what we're doing.
That's great. That's perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping for.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And then the other question I had was about are we going to receive an email telling us where to send in our blog responses? Because I didn't get a chance to jot down that email address.
Yeah, we will. We'll send out an email
okay.
with that, reiterating that information. Yep.
Great.
And Jen,
right.
this is
yep.
Claire. Final comment. We also have a couple of more conference calls scheduled too, which will hopefully be in that email for support calls.
Okay, good. So we'll send people a follow-up email that will have the email address. It will have the other conference calls that are on the schedule. And maybe the first posting of the blog. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you folks. I could go on for hours here, but anyone else who just feels like they've got something that we've missed or that feels like it really wants to be shared before we wrap it up this evening?
I want to jump in just one more time. This is John again.
Yes,
and
John.
I did go on to Sangha Market and didn't come up with it, so there might be something else that
Does anyone know offhand? Anyone on the call have the inside scoop on that?
Jen, this is Carolyn. I went on and got right on.
SanghaMarket.com.
Yeah, SanghaMarket.com.
Oh, I'm on it right now, but no go. Okay. S-A-N-G-A-S-A-N-G-H-A.
G-H-A.
Oh, okay. All right. Further explore.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, everyone, so, so much. This is just a real exciting pleasure to be with everyone and doing this process. And I'm excited that it's going to be ongoing because there's just lots more to see, I'm sure.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. And we'll, as we said, we'll send out that follow-up email about the next time we're going to be together to catch up. All right. Thanks, everyone, and good night.